It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Yes, that is correct. We are 10 minutes late to start, but we're here. And there is a phone number that you can call if you'd really like to, 347-215-7771. Welcome into the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. My name is Matt Rury, and for the Celtics fans listening, this is not going to be a very fun hour with Calvin Chamberlain and myself. Calvin, not a Celtics fan, but has become a Celtics supporter, I would say, over the years. How are you feeling right now?
I mean, let's not get carried away with the Celtics supporter thing. I'm feeling fine. I mean, you're probably not feeling great, right? 30-point loss. Well, right, as you know, like, I actually don't really – I don't have anything against the Celtics. I really just like to be right. And I was preaching a cautionary tale after – I did the postgame show for after game two. And I was preaching a cautionary, you know, the series isn't over yet, and my co-host and the callers were – insisting that the Cavaliers couldn't make any adjustments. Like, what can Ty Lue do with this particular roster? And I said, you know, they haven't made their threes yet. It's going to be a different thing on the road. Well, on the road. But even beyond that, Murray, they made some adjustments. They started the game out with LeBron off the ball quite a bit and sort of George Hill actually playing point guard. And, you know, you want to look at his numbers and say, well, George Hill went 4-for-11 and he had a bad game. But that's not true. He really opened up a lot of the offense. They ran pick and rolls up higher for LeBron. They did some different things in this game that they weren't doing earlier in the series. But I think that really they just hit their threes in the second part time, sort of spacing out. But go ahead. I'm sorry, you wanted to jump in?
No, so I was going to say it's interesting that you mentioned George Hill, because I wasn't actually going to discuss this tonight, but this actually is twice now that the Celtics have been exposed after an adjustment that has to do with a point guard, right? A guy that actually handles the basketball at the point guard position. In the Philadelphia series, you saw McConnell, I almost called him CJ McCollum, but obviously not, he's not that player. TJ McConnell made an impact in that series when they made that adjustment, and the Celtics had a hard time covering him on the road. So the bigger picture item that I was going to discuss at some point in this show kind of ties to this, because Terry Rozier was a no-show tonight, in my opinion. At one point, he was the leader for the Celtics in scoring. He did not end the game that way, but he just, to me, he looks like he has sort of turtled on the road here, Calvin, in the playoffs. So I don't know whether we should say that it's a Cavs adjustment that was made, and that Ty Lue made this adjustment, and George Hill was a big factor, or whether it's really just the adjustment is that they're at home and they feel more comfortable. I thought the Celtics were going to make a game of this thing. I didn't believe that they were going to lose by 30. 116-86 is the final for anyone that's actually curious about that. I didn't think they were going to lose by 30 points in this game. But ultimately, I feel like Cleveland was just comfortable, yet they still were turning the ball over. They were missing shots. They left the door wide open for the Celtics to make a run. They just never did it. So there's not any one single player that you can point to. But I find it interesting that you brought up the George Hill thing right off the bat, because the Celtics have been exposed by a point guard that surprises them in the past, just in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, here's the thing, Ray. Well, I brought up the George Hill thing because, like, they started out the game with, like, completely differently than they had in the past, like, with George Hill sort of actually actively trying to get him involved. He took shots early. I mean, even, like I said, even more importantly than that, he was the primary ball handler in that first quarter. So, yeah, you know, it was a first quarter thing. That's where I went. Later on, they started taking advantage of, you know, Love in the post. And I think that, you know,
we can talk about both sides of this, right? Like how the Cavaliers ended up with 116 points when they weren't scoring 90 points in the previous game in the series, and then how the Celtics ended up putting 86. Those are two, you know, they're related somewhat, but like there's completely separate issues with those two things. But yeah, so I thought, you know, they got love on some switches in a way. Yeah, again, you look at his numbers and say he didn't shoot well, but he had 14 rebounds, and the gravity of what he did, you could see it sort of freed up a lot of those 3-point shooters on the team, and LeBron in the post. I think that like the Celtics one sort of seemed to double team the post a little bit more on those guys than they were earlier in the series, or it at least like they would manage to show the double team and leave it earlier. They seem to be a step slow tonight in rotating back out to the perimeter, and a lot of guys got like wide open shots that we weren't seeing earlier in the series. So I think that's one of the reasons why the Cavaliers hit their threes, obviously being at home.
I don't know. I felt like the Celtics' effort was there pretty much the entire night, and they just weren't making shots. They couldn't find their rhythm on offense. They got down big time in the first few minutes. It was 9-4, and then all of a sudden it was 16-4, and then they were down 20. So I don't know. I just – the rotations, maybe they were a step slow or something like that. Obviously, Cleveland is going to feel better at home, but I didn't look at this game and see – major adjustments from Cleveland's side that forced the Celtics into playing poorly. I looked at it as they're a young team and they don't play well on the road, and they need to get their minds straight if they think they're going to split in Cleveland. And honestly, Calvin, down the road here, I don't want this thing going 7 games, because if it does, I think LeBron James is the type of player that just, you know, he puts it up to another level, and he's going to take over. So forgive me if I'm not staying on track tonight, because I'm sort of looking forward in this series, and this team needs to figure out a way to win a game in Cleveland. Otherwise, I'm afraid of LeBron James. There, I'll admit it. I'm afraid of LeBron James.
I mean, you should be afraid of LeBron. But I think that there were things that were different about this game. Like the Celtics offensively have thrived partially because out of creating turnovers. And you mentioned that the Cavs still turn the ball over, but they weren't the kind of turnovers that the Celtics were forcing early on in the series, which were passing lane turnovers that got them easy buckets out in ten. How many transition buckets can you even remember the Celtics having in this game? I don't have
tonight?
The number right
none.
Now, but yeah,
one.
I can't remember.
I mean, let's. You know what?
Yeah.
Four. They had four fast break points, according to the box score, which is awful. That is ugly. Although the Cavs had less. So, it wasn't a fast break type of game, but those are the game. That's how the Celtics are going to win games like this, because obviously the talent level is not there.
Well, they've been winning the game by playing the passing lanes, turning the ball over, and getting out in the fast break. Rozier has been sort of the primary instigator of that, right? Rozier and Jaylen Brown are the guys who get out of the break. And we can get to Jaylen having a bad game in a moment. I think Jaylen sort of got in foul trouble early and never really recovered from that. He is a guy who
struggles from that. That's a big thing that hurt him in that Philadelphia game as well. The foul trouble, and he just was disengaged.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's because he's so physical, I think, with the basketball, that once he starts getting into that foul trouble, he disengages because he doesn't – yeah, he's, like, afraid of picking up that next foul. So all of a sudden, he's out of the game. But my thing is, like, I don't understand what happened to the Celtics offense entirely. Even – look, I go down the list.
Before you touch on that quickly, LeBron, since we're talking about Jaylen Brown, the fifth foul, totally his fault. Why he thought that he was going to be able to rip LeBron James from behind is asinine. He basically just slapped down on the ball, and the King said, no, this is mine. You're not taking it from me. Obviously, it's a foul. So that type of thing, he needs to get his head straight before he starts jumping at the ball like that. That was clear.
Okay. Well, we're not really on the subject, but we are on the subject of LeBron-related fouls, and this really has nothing to do with anything. But That block that they spent 5 minutes fawning over LeBron fouling Aaron Baines. I mean blocking Aaron Baines in the first quarter.
That was a good block.
He hacked him so hard on the arm.
No, that was a good block. I thought it was a good block, Calvin. I'm sorry. I'm going to defend LeBron James right now. I thought that was a good block.
I completely disagree. I thought he got him on the arm. Look, he got the ball. There's no question about that. But like,
listen, I found myself defending LeBron James tonight in this game and awing and being in awe of some of the passes he was making and just the way he played the game. And overall, I still didn't think he was great, but there were some moments where it was like, wow, look at LeBron James go. Because ultimately, though, my memory of LeBron in this game is whining to the refs and begging for calls and getting the whistle blown late for him. That's my memory of LeBron in this game. But there were a few moments that I was happy with.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I thought LeBron played great. I mean, that bullet pass he made out to the three-point line when he was running full speed, falling out of bounds, was incredible to me. With Marcus Morris' hand right in his face.
It was a great pass. It was an excellent pass. Or the bounce pass around Marcus Morris with spin with the left hand for the nice dunk.
Okay, so back to what I'm saying about the offense. Look, even Jason Taylor, who was the one I say sort of had a good game offensively, sort of did most of his scoring was done in sort of isolation, get the ball, dribble, and sort of take a pull-up jumper over somebody.
It was garbage
What happened to the Celtics' motion? No, I'm talking about like over the course of the game. I'm just wondering what happened.
No, but
to the
in
Celtics
general, though, he only took six shots. He made a few of them towards the end. I mean, he didn't score until the very end of the game.
Right, but I'm just – but no, who, Tatum? No, Tatum scored early on, didn't he? I'm
he scored
sure
throughout
he
for the most part, but six of those points came towards the end when it was essentially over.
Okay, that's fine, but nobody – I'm just saying he shot relatively well. But the point that I'm making is –
okay, if we're talking relative to the rest of the team, sure. They just couldn't they couldn't make a bucket today.
But I don't even think it was that they couldn't make a bucket. I don't understand what happened to their motion offense in the first place. That's the point that I'm making. It's like, where was Horford at as a sort of secondary ball handler in this game? There was way too much Marcus Smart with the ball in his hand. I'm just going to say that again. Marcus Smart was like bad Marcus Smart, in my opinion. And you know who else was the bad version of himself? The bigger Marcus Smart? Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris was trying to do so much offensively and failing and just sort of holding the ball, letting the shot clock drip down to nothing to take a tough contested shot. When the Celtics are a team that gets good shots, and I don't understand what they were doing in terms of running their offense just overall. And maybe some of that had to do with the fact that Rozier really didn't have the ball in his hand very much at all, except for when he was shooting. So maybe he needs to play more of a point guard role, but like I didn't see where the – just running your actual system was tonight. I guess that's my point. Not even like how they performed, but the system was.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of seems to be what happens on the road if they get down. You know, it's not good unless they seem like they or unless they feel like they are catching decent breaks with the refs or like they're making a couple shots early. This team seems to check out a little bit. I'm not sure that this really fits the mentality that they've built up throughout the entire year. This is not something that we're used to seeing from this team. It happened in Philadelphia when they were already up significantly in the series. They had already basically put that thing away 3-0. And it may have just happened again tonight. So I would be worried, Calvin, because they still haven't really proven that they can win a bounce back type of game on the road. They have not won back-to-back games on the road in the NBA playoffs this season. While they're undefeated at home, that's great. They've got to find a way to win this next game in Cleveland on Monday if they're going to really want a chance to win this series, in my opinion, because like I said earlier, and we'll get to it later as well, LeBron James in Game 7 is not something that I would want to run into if I was a Boston Celtic. However, I'm going to take a second to remind you that the CLNS postgame show Celtics post-game show, I should say, on CLNS Media, is brought to you by a wonderful sponsor. And if anyone out there listening is struggling because they're starting to lose their hair, maybe it's starting to move back slowly, you know, it's maybe you have some bald spots in the back, or I don't know, you just got a new haircut and you noticed something that didn't look right, and you want to get that hair back, Well, we're going to hook you up right now. All you have to do is go to forhims.com. That's forhims.com. And you're going to get your hair back because science has fixed your problem. Science is wonderful. And if you didn't think that science was going to rule the world one day, well, you're wrong, because it is. This is not a snake oil pill or a counter supplement from the grocery store or something like that. These people know what they're doing. And if you're looking to get some of your hair back, go to 4hims.com. You're going to get a trial month, a free month. Not free, actually, I should say. $5 for the month, which is a great deal. And you're going to get your hair back. You're going to be really happy. You're going to be able to run your hands through it. It's going to be wonderful. forhims.com/report. That's how you get it for a month for $5. That's forhims.com/report. And that's an allusion to the Garden Report right there. So if you haven't checked out the Garden Report, now is the time to do it after this show. Check them out. We love them. I don't know what the Celtics are going to do to be able to figure out this motion type of thing. Because, listen, Calvin, you're right. They thrive on ball movement and bouncing back and forth, and just these guys are running all over the court. However you want to look at it. They didn't do it tonight. What I was saying earlier was, I'm not so sure that it's Cavs adjustments that made this switch. I think the Celtics just don't play well on the road, and that's the thing that kind of frustrates me, because I didn't really, and you didn't point it out either, unless you've come up with something in the last couple of minutes. The Cavs didn't really do anything to disrupt the Celtics offense. The Celtics just weren't really, they didn't seem to be engaged in that offense tonight, and that's concerning.
Well, I think the Celtics made some tactical errors that sort of played into the Cavaliers' hands and with the roster. Look, I feel like Brad Stevens, and tell me if you disagree, but I feel like he's sort of been sitting on this semi Ojale thing and like waiting for the right time to bring him in as sort of this secret weapon who can defend LeBron. And yeah, that's fine. Maybe he's strong enough to defend LeBron individually, but like he was so sort of out of sorts in the team defensive scheme in this game. But I felt like the Cavaliers were getting wide open shots whenever he was on the court because of the switching. He was out of position a lot of the time in this game. Did not play well at all. And I'd say the same thing for I think game two when you know Greg Monroe had a moment or two. I don't like Greg Monroe in this series at all. I don't think, first of all, I think the Cavs are playing a mistake by playing Thompson so much, although they did manage to get some use out of him in this game with the screens. Although, like, they were letting them get away with some shady screens in this game. Can I just say there was some like
they got Larry Nance Jr. on a couple. Once he came in, they started calling stuff on him. And to me, I don't want to get down the rabbit hole of referee conspiracies, but Zach Zarba was working this game, and he's usually a crew chief. Yet he was put to the third spot tonight. And I feel like this was a subtle attempt for the NBA to make sure the Celtics lost the game. And honestly, Calvin, I keep talking about that Philadelphia game because I feel like they should have swept that series. And the way they played in the first two games, I feel like they should have swept this series as well. And we're not going down this road, but I can't host a show without saying that I believe in the referee conspiracies, at least a sliver of an amount. You know what I'm saying? So that's the end of the road. Go back to your point. It's a dead end.
Yeah, I don't believe in the referee conspiracies. I do believe in the Cavaliers going 17-34 from three. You know what I mean? I do believe in the Celtics looking sluggish. Look, Rozier has not played well on the road this entire playoffs. Like his home and road splits are about as dramatic as like any player in the NBA right now.
He's horrible.
Right?
Oh, he's so horrible on the road. I've been saying it all night. He's so bad.
Yeah, but it's not just that. I didn't like playing Monroe 16 minutes. Look, Monroe's going to get his points, but I said it after game two. Look. When Greg Monroe's on the court, like the Celtics abandoned their offense and turned it into the Greg Monroe post-up. Let Greg Monroe
too bad.
Points.
I don't know why they do that. Because it's because they don't know how to use him otherwise, or because he's not capable of running in their offense otherwise. But I think that that Stevens was just trying to find something with Greg Monroe, and that's why he left him out there for so long tonight. You're probably not going to see that in the next game, but you're right. You're right about that.
Well, then, but you saw that was another adjustment. It's like, yeah, previously they had him trying to destroy Nance. They switched Kevin Love on him today. And by the way, let's give Kevin Love credit where Kevin Love's due. I thought Kevin Love's defense tonight was excellent defense tonight.
I think Kevin Love has had an excellent series, period. I think he's been awesome in all three games. I have to give Kevin Love credit as well.
I agree, but my point is once they switched him onto Monroe, he's strong enough to sort of hold Monroe in the post, and on the other end he just blows right by him. I get why he wanted to try it, but I just felt like he was on the floor too long. I felt like Semi was on the floor too long, and like maybe those are minutes, and that was like not in the fourth quarter. I'm talking about like while the game was in balance, while it was a 15
right.
20 point game, like. Those are the moments like when those guys don't play, where the Celtics seem to start making their runs, sort of when the Cavaliers have to get into their bench and play guys like Jordan Clarkson. But, yeah, but like I didn't like the rotations at all tonight. I know it's we're not ever supposed to criticize Stevens, but me, I feel like everyone's fair game.
No, everyone should be fair game, and Brad Stevens deserves a lot of compliments. He deserves some praise because he's done a lot with his team, but he does deserve criticism as well. And he didn't seem to be that engaged himself tonight. The whole entire team seemed to be sort of feeling out their oats, trying to find their way in Cleveland. Oh, like they were walking through out of quicksand or something. They were just so slow. They didn't know what was going on left or right. They were short on jumpers. They were just – the whole team just looked off tonight. And I attribute that to them being in Cleveland, and I hope that they can find a way to bounce back and split, because I'm going to keep going back to this. I don't want to see Game 7 in Boston. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I'm a scared little boy. I'm going to tuck my tail. I'm going to run. I don't want to see it, because if LeBron James – rips my heart out again like he did 8 years ago, I'm not going to be happy with this. Anyway, we're going to go to the call lines now after that little rant. 347-215-7771 is the phone number, and the call lines are brought to you by Mack Weldon. If you don't know what Mack Weldon is, then you should go check it out, because they have some of the most comfortable underwear and socks that you'll ever find. They're easy to shop, it's convenient for you, and you're going to be really happy because it's better than what you're wearing. I guarantee it. You're going to be more comfortable wearing Mack Weldon than you are going to be in whatever you're wearing right now, Calvin. What do you have, Fruit of the Loom? Who knows? You have Hanes? Who cares about those brands? It's Mack Weldon. That's what you want to know. That's where you need to go. So for 20% off your first order, check out MackWeldon.com and put in the promo code CLNS. That's MackWeldon.com. And the promo code, of course, is CLNS. And you're going to be happy with what you're wearing underneath those pants, my friends. I'm not going to ask the caller what he's wearing tonight, but if he wants to tell us, he can. It's our good friend Sam in San Diego, Calvin, up first on the call lines. What's up, Sam?
Hey, it's Coast Whispers. So, I Matt, I was at that game too, in 2012. Was it? So I got that LeBron James game six also. I'm not concerned about that if we get that in a game seven this year, because he's not the same player he was, and they don't have the same team. He's not hungering to get into the finals the way he was back then, because he knows.
But
what's the waiting in the finals?
Though. I think he would be in Boston for a game seven, Sam. I don't know.
I'm more confident in what we can do to him now. I wanted to say tonight, I thought that we lost the game, obviously, right at the beginning. We only had 4 points by the 6 minute mark. And I blame Marcus Morris, because I think he was something like 1 of 9 to start the game. And that's one of the things I don't like about him in the starting lineup, is that you don't want him taking shots away from guys like Tatum and Brown and Horford. I prefer him
off the bench where, you know he's going to take his shots. And if he gets the ball, he's going to take those shots. And I just thought he got us off to a bad start. And that's the one thing we didn't need. We didn't need to start the game that way. And that's exactly how we started it. And after that, things overflowed from there. And like Calvin was saying, those 3-point shots going down, I mean, it comes down to that. There was no way we were going to win the game tonight with them shooting the lay. They were unconscious from the floor between Corver and Smith. And it just avalanched on us.
I think you can live somewhat with sort of J.R. Smith hitting a certain amount of threes. Or like you have to give up something sometime, right? So you're going to have to double off with Jeff Green and J.R. Smith to a certain degree and hope they miss their threes. But like I don't understand how Corver ended up with so many wide open shots. I think one of the this team's a lot better defensively than they were last year. But I think one of the things that they miss about last year's team is having that guy who can chase somebody off a screen. They don't really like Rozier can do it sometimes, right? But other than that, like they don't really have that guy who will like run somebody right off a shot that same way they did before. And like even Smart is like a more versatile guy, but like they have him playing a lot in the post. Tatum and Brown aren't really disciplined enough yet to be that guy consistently, and I felt like Corver was just getting some wide open looks tonight that I didn't like at all.
The playoffs brings out your worst, and we've had these lulls all year, and we haven't seemed to have them lately, but of course they pop up now, and they pop up on the road. This team is a lot like the 08 team in the sense that they were a good road team during the regular season, but not during the playoffs. They seem to get overwhelmed, but the one good thing about this is at least we can stop hearing all the we don't need Kyrie talk, right? Because Kyrie's exactly the kind of guy that can score in those situations when we're ice cold and we missed a lot of bodies tonight too.
Sam,
just nothing,
I love it. Sam, if Kyrie was in this series, it would be a sweep. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Are you kidding me? If they had somebody that could just make a shot on the road, this game would have been over. They'd be up 3-0. They'd be ready to get screwed in game 4 and close it in game 5. That's what would be happening. Now, instead, they have to actually try and go out and win game 4 before they can close in game 5. Kyrie Irving is a difference maker, and that's what makes both of these teams underdogs in the next round, regardless of what happens in this one.
What would have been awesome, too, is Kyrie would have been so revved up. We would have gotten a chance to see the conference finals Kyrie against LeBron. So that would have been awesome. But, hey, last thing, we did not lose because of the fouls, but I do really get tired of seeing specifically the foul that was called, the late call, where he was called on Semi Ojeleye. That call followed by the non-call against him on the other side. And then the one where he tripped on his own, where he just kind of fell and they called it on Morris. Those really bother me. I love everything that Adam Silver has done with the NBA since he's come on as commissioner, but that's the one thing that he needs to address. And he knows how the fans feel about it. We don't want to see that, and that's one thing that they can't be that incompetent. You can see it from our TV screens that it's a bad call. And it just gets revealed on replay for everyone to see. And it's just I was glad Morris got a tech because, he's speaking our language from that. But that tech is for us here as fans. So, anyway, thanks for taking my call, guys. And I'll talk to you guys hopefully soon on Carlos Whispers. Go Celtics.
Sounds good, Sam. Maybe on Tuesday night. Hopefully on Tuesday night we'll be doing our own show there. All right, Calvin. I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole, but Sam did.
Well, now
Sam went down there, so now you've got to comment on it. And I think overall, I think the referees have been very good this year. And when it comes down to this type of thing, I throw my hands up. I don't really know what to do. I buy into the conspiracies. So I'm sure that you're going to give some sort of explanation about how the game is so fast and maybe they didn't see it, but maybe not. Go ahead.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah. Look, I don't know. I'm sure you've been already. Look, I know you've been an umpire. I've been an umpire. Not the same thing in basketball, I realize. But you can still understand the concept of, I'm sure you've gotten a million calls wrong doing your umpiring. I know it's probably.
I get some wrong, yes.
Yeah. So there's just times when you can't see. And look, and I realize that it's unfair. Look, I already came out and said, my issue with, LeBron not getting called for the foul on that block that I was complaining about earlier, that was not a point about the referees. That was a point about Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson spending 5 minutes praising LeBron without mentioning the fact that clearly on replay there's a foul. Look, it's easy for us as the people who are watching something on TV, okay, with cameras that zoom in and slow it down and show us exactly what happened, to sit here on our thrones in hindsight and say, well, no, LeBron tripped and that was not a foul on Morris. Well, that's fine, but when they were running at full speed and LeBron just falls down on his own and you're a referee trailing from behind and Morris is right there bodying with him, you're going to assume that he knocked over LeBron. That's human nature. You can only see a certain percentage of any action that's going on at any given time. You can't see 100%. Like, you can't tell me, like, how many times – let me ask you this, Murray, just as a theoretical question. How many times have you watched a game with someone else, okay, and made a judgment call in the moment, oh, that's a foul, or like, oh, that looked like a clean thing, and then you watch the replay and you said, oh, you know what, that wasn't a foul, or you know what, that was a three, that wasn't a two, or
yeah.
A million other things.
It happens a lot. It happens maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 times a year, maybe. I feel like I'm pretty good, Calvin. I feel maybe I'm just boosting myself up a little too much here.
Okay, that's fine. But you still see what I'm getting at. Is like,
yes, of course I do. Yes.
Yeah. It's so easy for people to say, well, the referees were terrible. The referees had nothing to do with the Celtics losing this game. Obviously, they lost by 30.
No. Actually, and this is the larger – so I've made this point before about the referees, and I've complained about them, and yes, of course. So the larger point in this whole thing is real champions in the NBA, real teams that overcome things that you may perceive as a fan, are the ones that win games like this. They overcome stuff that you see, right? As we're complaining about the referees and all this stuff, I feel like the Celtics also see these things though, and they don't try and overcome it, and they sort of get into this hole and they just keep digging deeper. And once they're done and they're down 20-ish, I mean, obviously I can't say this every time because they've come back from being down that amount many times as well. But when they feel like they are getting screwed by the refs or something like that, or they're getting bad calls, and they start getting these technical fouls when Coach Stevens got one in Philly or when Marcus Morris got one tonight, sometimes I think it's a little excessive. And yeah, Sam said that Morris was speaking for the fans or what have you. And that may be true, but right after you get that technical, I feel like sometimes the referees go the opposite direction, and you saw it tonight. They called a ticky-tack thing, and Morris still didn't like the call pretty much the next time up the court. So it's a fine line to be stepping on, and I think that the true winners in this league overcome things like that, and the Celtics will learn that. And they're still very young. I still think that this is all gravy, and if they lose this series after being up 2-0, it might be a little disappointing, but ultimately I'm happy with the result of the season. And I will say that until they're finished in the playoffs at this point, because they have far exceeded my expectations after losing Hayward in the first game and losing Kyrie Irving multiple times over the year until they finally shut him down. So that's my big point. And we're going to go to another caller here, unless you have something else you'd like to say.
I do have a question for you, but let's go to the caller first, and I'll ask you after.
Fair enough. All right. So Steven wants to talk about level of concern with the Celtics, and I mean, as far as the series is concerned, I'm still not that concerned. I think they win the series, but ultimately, like I just said, it's all gravy to me anyway. Steven, what's going on tonight?
Hey guys, how's it going?
How's it going?
Good. What do you have?
So, you know, I talked about my original point. You know, obviously I would agree. You know, my concern's not too it's pretty much what I felt, you know, after they won game two. You know, going into game three, it was really a must-win. You know, Cleveland had their backs up against the wall. I expected Korver, I expected Love, I expected those guys to make threes. I mean, I think they were 17 of 34 from three tonight. So I think what gives me confidence, though, for game four and in game five, regardless if it's tied 2-2 or if they're up 3-1, is the Celtics defense has been able to, you know,
find ways to, you know, be consistent. You know, I doubt Cleveland shoots 17 of 34 from three, and they shoot that hot in game four. But, man, definitely the reason why, you know, they had a hard time in this game was just because they couldn't score. You know, they had a lot of bad shots.
Yeah.
Terry was shooting not good. I think this was one of the worst games that Jaylen's played in these playoffs. You know, I thought Jaylen Brown was really good in the first two games.
Yeah. Calvin, let's touch on that real quick. Jaylen Brown, he basically didn't show up. And there were multiple shots of him sort of thinking man's pose, right, on the bench, just trying to, you know, weird Celtics Twitter is out there probably putting things in his head, trying to get him to focus in on the game or what have you. But he was a no-show tonight, just as much as Terry Rozier was. So touch on Jaylen Brown real quick.
Well, I think we hit it already. I really do think it was the early foul trouble. And maybe, like, here's the thing. The Celtics defense has been good in the first two games, but it wasn't good tonight. We keep talking about how maybe they won't hit that many threes again, the Cavaliers. But, like, the Cavaliers had a lot of open looks that they haven't gotten earlier in the series. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they started hitting tonight. It wasn't just the fact that they were in Cleveland. Those were open shots, and I think part of that, you hit it on the head with the disengagement of Jaylen Brown. Like, I think the Celtics defense is a sort of very carefully choreographed thing in the series, especially when you're having to deal with LeBron James. They've been forcing turnovers in sort of making the Cavaliers reluctant to pass, you know, especially when they try to get the ball inside to anybody. The Cavaliers seem to get the ball inside at ease in this game. Again, some of that had to do with small adjustments that they made, but you're right. They didn't make that many adjustments beyond having George Hill dribble the ball more and sort of beyond like having Thompson be the screener more often, but those are things that the Celtics can counter. I didn't think that they were like their rotations defensively were as quick. I didn't think they were playing the passing lanes as well. And in Rozier and Brown may have been the biggest culprits in terms of like, and obviously Tatum got in foul trouble also. So it, you know, early in the first half, and maybe that affected his defense as well. I didn't think that was up to point. Morris, you know, did what he could. I don't have a problem with him on that end. It was really the other end. But so I think it's not just, hey, the Cavs hit some threes and they're not going to hit those again. It's like, why didn't the Celtics put out the same defensive effort to stop them from doing that?
I mean, if that's all it is, if it's just effort, because I thought the effort was there pretty much up and down the court. But if it's just effort, then I would expect the Celtics to come out in game four and kind of blow this team away because they're younger. They have the younger legs, they have a little bit more energy. LeBron James looked like he was tired after that fancy all-star weekend dunk that he had in the middle of the game after cutting through the lane and being wide open. So I feel like if the Celtics really want to put the effort in, they should be able to run the Cavs off the court. It's a matter of making jump shots, and I think Steven touched on that. So before we let you go, Steven, do you think the Celtics can make those adjustments? Are they going to be able to win this next game in Cleveland or what?
Yeah, I think they will be able to win in game four. But, you know, man, they're 1-5 on the road. It's weird because I want to really believe they can win that they can win multiple games in a row. But, I mean, they've been rough. I mean, they got blown out in mostly all their games against Milwaukee. I know they staged that comeback in game four, but, you know, I mean, and they obviously were out of sync in game three, but they found a way to pull it out. You know, to take a 3-0 lead, they got destroyed in game four because they had to win in game five. But, you know, do you guys think that they should still stick with Morris, or do you think they should start Baines for game four? For like just a new wrinkle that they should go with?
That's a good question, and thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. There goes Steven. I don't know. I think Morris is a guy that, Calvin, tell me if I'm wrong, he kind of might have gotten in his own head tonight, and they showed him on the bench sort of staring off into the distance as well. I feel like if he gets psyched out and starts getting technicals, that's not necessarily good for him, and he needs to sort of back it off a little bit and focus in, and I think you saw that in Boston. But you certainly did not see that tonight. And he dubs himself the second best defender of LeBron James in the league next to Kawhi Leonard. But that was not the case tonight because LeBron certainly had his way. So I don't know if I'd really go away from Morris. I don't think that's the move. But I do think that you need to get these guys to focus a little bit more at the beginning of the game. They got down big and they couldn't climb back into it. If that was a punching game match, if that was a boxing match, back and forth, and they were running up and down the court, and it was a 6 to 10 point game, I think that it would have come down to the last second. But once Cleveland broke it open, the Celtics did. They just wilted. And if they're going to find a way to win Game Four, that's the way to do it. Is with more effort, like I just said a few minutes ago, with those young legs.
I don't look. Do I agree with Morris saying like he's the second best defender of LeBron? I mean, he defended LeBron well in Game One. In Game Two, LeBron sort of killed everyone, but the Celtics stopped everybody else. I think that you continue to start Morris just because they need, regardless of how good he actually is on LeBron, you just need that size out there. You need his switchability with the way the Cavaliers' offense runs. You're gonna have to sort of have guys who can. You need as many guys who can defend LeBron in the post as possible. And so, I do think that you keep Morris as a starter and leave Baines on the bench. But what I think they should do is definitely, like, not play Monroe. Those 16, like, I think those Monroe minutes are minutes that largely could have gone to Baines. And the reason why is I think that you need to, like, sync Baines with Tristan Thompson's minutes as much as you can. Like, Thompson, you know, hits LeBron with those high screens, and that's fine. If you know, he's going to burn Baines every once in a while, like LeBron is, rather, for like a like that dunk he sort of Morris got sealed off, obviously, and then Baines didn't rotate in time. But he defends well enough to, especially in the post in that position, to hold his own in that situation. And on the other end, he can pull Tristan Thompson out to the perimeter. He's not getting as many rebounds when Baines is in the game because he's sort of checking him in that respect into a way like, certain other guys don't necessarily. Yeah, Greg Monroe can do it, but we already talked about Monroe's, limitations in other areas. I just feel like because Cleveland's sort of playing that power game, either that or you don't play Baines at all and you go, or you play him, a small minutes and you go with a super small lineup. But if you're going to play that smaller lineup, and you're going to have scenarios where you're putting Marcus Smart on Kevin Love, and he's like Kevin Love's his primary man. Well, the only way you're going to survive in that with that lineup on the floor is if you're creating turnovers, more turnovers than you created in this game. Because the Celtics, look, as well as they played offensively, they're not a great half-court offensive team. They're a team, like you said, they're young.
Especially when Al Horford is not in the paint and he's like taking jumpers or not taking jumpers. There were multiple times where I thought he should have shot it and he just wasn't as aggressive as I would have expected from him. But you're right.
Yeah, and I think, again, part of that is like Love and Thompson are strong dudes. And LeBron is a strong dude. Al Horford is a strong dude too, but it's not like his forte is sort of finesse and like, obviously, like ball handling and switch and all those things.
And
like,
he'll box you out and he'll pass and he finds a way to score in space. Like if he like doesn't have much area to he'll find a way. He'll get to the basket if he can, but not when there's two of those guys clamping down on him.
Well, part of the reason why he's never been the most effective rebounder is I don't really think that he likes the physicality of it. If I'm being honest, and that's not even a knock on him, that's just sort of his game. But I don't think he liked the physicality down low tonight, and that sort of, in my opinion, got him off his game. But usually, when Al Horford gets played by a more physical defender, we see the versatility of Al Horford, and he takes it out to the 3-point line. Takes
right.
the guy off the dribble. Does a if not a three, then at least like the Al Horford 18-foot pull up special. We didn't see any of that tonight. It was like.
Dribble and kick. I mean, he gets so many of his assists because he can get that first step, right?
Yeah.
He drives the lane and he finds his other teammate open on the 3-point line.
And some of that in this game, I didn't think was his fault. I think again, it was like a lot of stagnant holding the ball, a lot of holding the ball from Morris, a lot of holding the ball from Smart. Even Tatum, who again, that was the point I was making earlier about Tatum. Tatum, who scored pretty well. Also really scored a lot in isolation, just held the ball and you know, he was defended by a guy who he had an advantage of, so I understand it. But it wasn't doing any good for the offense overall or getting anybody going. And Rozier, you know, again, really didn't dribble. He dribbled a little bit, but most of his shots were like catch and shoot types or cuts. And I maybe he needs to have the ball in his hand more. I don't know. But I just thought that the offense was not – like the off-ball movement wasn't there either. So maybe that's on Horford somewhat in terms of what he did. Maybe some of that, again, is on Jaylen and Tatum because they got in their foul trouble early and they didn't want to, you know, get called for any moving screens or whatever. But it definitely looked dead in respect to that. And I guess that's kind of on everybody.
Yeah, I hope they find a way to fix that and, you know, bounce back for Monday and find a way to win this game on Monday because, like I said, if they don't, then they're back in the seven-game series situation. It would look to me like if they don't win on Monday that the series would go seven games because the Celtics have shown no way that they can win on the road otherwise. You know, like they won that one game in Philadelphia because, frankly, Philadelphia is not that good. They need to be able to find a way to overcome all of the crap that comes with being on the road. And maybe this is not their year to do that. Maybe this is the learning experience that they are going to go through as a young team. But I feel like the ability is there. So I'm expecting them to win on Monday, to be honest with you, Calvin. I feel like they are going to find a way to regroup and overcome all of the adversity that they experienced tonight. And that's the learning curve with young people nowadays, it seems. They turn things around very quickly. They can figure it out, and that's that. Now they're off and running. So I'm hoping that this Celtics team sort of follows that trend, and they bounce back quickly and find a way to win on Monday. And the fact that J.R. Smith was 3 of 4 from three tonight and still just – He just every shot he took, he thought that he was just going to make it. But the way he was acting, it was like he made 12 threes in a row. No, it was three, Mr. Smith. So take it easy. Cool your jets. You're not a superstar. The Celtics will get you on Monday. That's how I feel about J.R. Smith. I hope somebody just punches him right in the mouth.
Right. Yeah. How are you trying to act? You don't want J.R. Smith to be J.R. Smith? This is who he is. He wore a t-shirt on, of a
Oh, I know who he is. He's a punk. I know who he is. But, like, come on,
Let's
man. Three shots and you're acting like you're Steph Curry? You're acting like you're Ray Allen? Like you're Reggie Miller? J.R. Smith, give me a break. Of all people to be acting like the greatest three-point – you're acting like Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, a better three-point shooter than you on your own team? Come on, man.
Irrational confidence is sort of the driving force behind a lot of NBA players. So I'm not going to begrudge J.R. Smith.
I'm sorry. I just had to rip on J.R. Smith for a little bit.
I really enjoyed when he made that three and he just like yelled out, "Just keep shooting" or whatever. Yes,
just
that was my fifth.
Yeah,
one of my,
right.
Yeah,
just keep shooting two more times. Good job.
Yeah. Let me ask you this though, because I asked this after game two and I was curious. You said earlier that like you know it's all good, the Celtics are on bonus time now, and well, obviously you've hosted a bunch of shows with me, so you know I love that idea of bonus time. But is there a point in which bonus time turns back into regular time? I said it after 2-0. I'm curious after 2-1. Let's say the Celtics win this game 4, right, and they go up 3-1 in the series, and then
sure.
They lose the next and then they lose the next three. They lose game 7 on a LeBron game winner. Does that turn the series back into, because we had this 3-1 lead and now we lost in the most crushing way possible, does that sort of turn it back from bonus time into like disappointing time? Or is
no,
it good no matter,
not for
no
me.
Matter how
I'm, I mean, I'm, listen, I already said right off the bat that I'm close to being a little disappointed if they find a way to lose this series after being up 2-0, right? So I would still be probably a little disappointed that they would lose that series. And yes, that's why I don't want to go to a game 7 against LeBron if the Celtics go up 3-0, because I feel like he would rip my heart out like he did 6 years ago. But ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, the next morning I would wake up and say, you know what? I'm happy with this season. This was a fine season. It was an overachievement. It was exciting. They were more fun than they've been in many years. The garden was rocking, and I can't wait for next season. So it would be a fleeting disappointment, because I would almost immediately feel just the way I feel today and yesterday and for the last few weeks and months.
All right, I respect that answer. Actually, I actually like it a lot, because Celtics fans should be happy with the season, and obviously, but the fact that Kyrie got hurt, and you know, to a lesser extent, the fact that Gordon Hayward got hurt, it almost makes the season like a get out of jail free card, right? Because no matter what happens, you're getting those guys back. You're getting, you know, I guess you're not getting a draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
no draft pick. You know, but I mean, who knows what's going to happen if Rozier even gets better, if they have him and Smart still next year. I mean, the team will largely be the same, I think, next year as far as the roster is concerned. But another year under Jaylen Brown's belt and Jason Tatum's belt, and guys like Morris, and who knows what happens with Ojeleye and if he makes some strides. I feel like the future is very bright for this team, because I didn't even mention the two guys that you mentioned, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. If you plug them in and you're bringing Tatum and Brown off the bench, like this, you're 7 or 8 deep of guys that really can perform in this league and have already proven it. So I think that that the Celtics are in great shape going forward. So anyone that is disappointed or pissed off that they've lost this game tonight, or if ultimately they lose the series and you're disappointed, please get over it, because the future is bright. The horizon, there's many, many hours of sunlight on the horizon, okay? Everything's going to be fine.
I wonder, and maybe this is a better question for Careless Whisper, so we don't need to get into it well here, but I wonder in his heart of hearts, do you think there's any part of Danny Ainge that regrets that Gordon Hayward contract, considering what's happened with Tatum and Brown? Because, like, Gordon Hayward comes back next year, where are the minutes for everyone? It'll be interesting, but anyway, yeah.
I wouldn't say regret, but yes, there has already been talk around here, Calvin. Crazy people are already throwing the notion out of trading Gordon Hayward or trading Kyrie Irving or just keeping Brown and Tatum at all costs. And it's sort of like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit. We're talking about guys in their first and second year versus guys who have been in the league for 5 to 6 years and already proven their all-star status. So let's hold off and bring Irving and Hayward back into the mix. Let Brown and Tatum learn from the two of them and see how things shake out. And if I was Danny Ainge, that's the way that I would look at it. I would not regret anything that I've done, because Gordon Hayward is an excellent player and he can only improve this team next year. I would never foresee a situation where a guy like that would make this team worse. So people need to watch out if they're fans of other teams, because next year and going forward is going to be a good time for the Boston Celtics. And if I'm Danny Ainge, no, I don't regret anything about this, because he's made every right move. He hit on the draft 2 years in a row, it seems, including a trade of the top draft pick. And he has also brought in a superstar via trade, and he signed a superstar. So I think actually I'd even go far to say that he signed Al Horford's not really a superstar, but a top level all-star. He signed him as well. So no regrets if I'm Danny Ainge, Calvin. No regrets.
All right. That's fine. Right. I know that wasn't a post-game topic, but we were going there, so I went with it.
Anyway, we started a little late, so I'm running a little late, but I'm going to end it right now because I just looked at the clock, and it's time to go. It's enough talking about a 30-point loss for an hour. Like, who wants to do that? You and me. We're the only ones that want to do that. 116-86, the Celtics fall in Game 3 in Cleveland. They are still up 2-1 in the series, and hopefully we'll win on Monday. So check us out after the game on Monday night from Cleveland. This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. For my man, Calvin Chamberlain, my name is Matt Rury, and you can check us out on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on our own show, Careless Whispers. We'll talk to you then. Hopefully the Celtics won, and we can be talking about closing out the series.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcast on the web.